Good afternoon, Tribe. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. We've got plenty to get to. More on the Cavaliers. The streak is over, but hope is not. They've got the Pelicans game tonight as well. We just talked a little bit about Dan Gilbert trying to bring a WNBA team here to Cleveland. Me likey that. But you guys know it's hump day. It's 4 o'clock, and it's time. I don't want to try and make this the biggest thing ever, but we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Ross joins us now. Ross, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Good. How do we feel,
Ross,
about...
Ross, we need a grade.
Yeah, we do.
Here.
Right, I need validation.
Yeah, I mean, I would say 9.5.
Oh, that cut him so bad.
Man, I was trying to clear the 9.5 bar.
That cut him so bad, Ross.
I could have gone for like a 9.6 and I would have been content, but 9.5 felt like I put a little extra English on that from last week, Ross.
Yeah, the problem is I was ready for it, so it didn't hit the same. You know what I mean? Like, and you tried to not, you tried not to overdo it. Like, you tried not to give the tell that you were about to do it, but I guess I just kind of knew it. I feel like you got to surprise me in mid-interview to have a better chance to really get over that hump, because I could just tell what was coming. And because I was ready for it, it's really hard to get a 10.
May your game day be delicious.
That was a sneak attack.
Huh.
9.9.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that right there. I was not. So that was, it's amazing how much of a difference that makes. Like, I was not expecting that. So it just hit a lot harder. It might have been the exact same thing, but it hit a lot harder.
I feel better now. We had Albert Breer on yesterday. He thinks, what he's hearing, rather, is that Jimmy Haslam's inclined to give everybody a mulligan for this season and maybe the DeSean experiment, including Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. Is that a sound tactic for Jimmy Haslam to take?
I would. I mean, that's what I would do. I think way, way too often, franchises make changes for change's sake when, you're not always going to have a good year. I mean, you can go back and look at some of the bad years that organizations have had. You know, the Steelers, Cowher had some down years. They stuck with him, ended up obviously having some great years and winning the Super Bowl. You go right down the line. I mean, Belichick, obviously, you guys know that in Cleveland. I think Kevin Stefanski, we know he won Coach of the Year 2 out of the last 4 years. I mean, everyone knows he's a good coach. So I guess you'd have to explain to me, if you fire him, who are you bringing in, and what's your level of confidence that actually helps the franchise moving forward? I think... And I kind of hope, I guess, I don't really care, but I kind of hope that Haslam is smart enough to realize he's got two really sharp guys that are good at what they do. And I think sometimes we make the mistake in pro sports that as soon as something doesn't go well, got to change them, got to fire them, kind of like the Jets do, right? Like, got to fire somebody. That hasn't really worked for a lot of people. It hasn't worked for the Jets, that's for sure. That would be like, can you imagine if after every day, Nick, where you don't have a great show, if people were calling in for you to be fired? I mean, it probably happened.
Yeah,
but
it definitely happened.
Can you imagine? Like, that would not be good. You don't have a great show every day. You know what I mean? Like, I think they would probably both go into next year very much on the hot seat. I think we all know the deal. They went all in for Deshaun Watson, and it backfired historically. So is them being that aggressive and making that bold a decision, whoever made it, whoever, whatever, is that a fireable offense and you move on? Or is it, man, that was a really, really big mistake, but people make mistakes at times. We still think the foundation and what we're doing overall is sound. Just unfortunately, that big bet did not pay off.
Yeah, Ross, I think the hard part for a lot of people, though, is you're like, well, who would be the person that replaces them isn't guaranteed to have a better outcome or a better result? And for a lot of fans listening right now, they're screaming at the radios being like, Ross, the answer is Mike Vrabel. He's a local kid done good. He's in the building right now. And Haslam is shown a willingness to spend to be able to get a guy like that to want to stay and want to be here.
I'm a huge Mike Vrabel fan. Huge Mike Vrabel fan. I guess what I would say to you is, and we were teammates in New England, I mean, there's also a reason why Mike just got fired in Tennessee, right? And that doesn't mean he should have been. I think he probably should not have been. I think he's an excellent head coach. But I think Vrabel will be a head coach somewhere. I think he deserves to be a head coach somewhere. But I also don't think that it's necessarily the right decision to fire Stefanski. I mean, how many times? I guess the question would be this: What does everybody think that Vrabel will do better than Stefanski?
Be a better leader. But I mean, meaning build a better
culture. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Build a better culture. Kevin has had 3 of 4 losing seasons the last 4 seasons, and in every losing season, culture has been a significant issue.
Got it. How do you think the culture was the last 2 years with the Titans?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was not good. I mean, they're firing GMs in the middle of the year. You know, they're trading A.J. Brown. You can say, oh, that's not Vrabel's fault or whatever, but they were 7-10, 6-11 the last couple of years. Didn't seem like the culture was very good there. I don't think there's very many teams with losing records that have good culture. I mean, I don't know. Like, did it not seem like the Browns' culture was fantastic last year when, even with the injuries to Chubb and Deshaun Watson, they still won all those games with Flacco and made the playoffs? I mean, that seemed like a really good and impressive culture to me a year ago. So did Stefanski this offseason, did he forget to take his culture pills?
No, I think
he forgot to take his culture pills, and now he doesn't. Like, I've done 2 Browns games this year. I think they do have a good culture. What about them says bad culture?
The miscommunications, throwing people under the bus. I would say some of the stuff that's starting to happen on social media.
What's the miscommunication? What's the
miscommunication on defense that continue to happen? And then everybody goes, yeah, hey, we miscommunicated. We'll do better next week.
And you think that's culture as opposed to...
I would say like when you're coaching, failing to do like rudimentary football things. Like, for instance, early in the season, it was like a bunch of pretty ridiculous penalties that were happening constantly. Like, I think when it's ticky-tack penalties from professional football players, when there's a bare minimum of standard not being met, I would imagine that's a sign of culture.
All right, I say fire everybody. Fire everybody and go back to being the Browns that every couple years just bring in new GM, new head coach. Go back to the cycle of failure. When you actually have guys, the only guys that have actually proven that they can do it with this iteration of the Browns. Because I saw with my own 2 eyes the Browns win the playoff game in Pittsburgh against the Steelers. I saw the Browns make the playoffs last year with a backup quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, good luck. Good luck. Go for it. Get rid of Coach of the Year, 2-time Coach of the Year, proven commodity, and go get someone else.
He has one playoff.
We'll see what happens.
He has one playoff win in 5 years.
How many did they have in the 20 years before that? I can't remember. So,
but I think that's the problem. I think you're grading him against like Brown's previous history instead of grading. Like, they walked into a very talented team with a quarterback, with a team, and they were able to go 11-5 that first year. You're right, and they got the playoff win. The problem is, 3 out of the 4 years, it's been 7-10, 8-9, and they haven't had consecutive winning seasons since 1988, 1989. So, like, they walked in with a roster that everybody thought was going to contend, and the closest they got was contending for the playoffs, and then they also traded for Deshaun Watson. Like, I think there's a lot there, is all I'm saying.
I think the Deshaun Watson decision has been an absolute disaster. One of the worst in NFL history, and probably will be the reason why those guys get fired after next year. But I've seen enough from them that I would at least give them next year. In particular, what I saw in 2023 was super impressive. And so just because you have a bad year the next year doesn't mean I cut the cord. They went all in with Watson. It didn't work. I would give them next year to see if they can do it. Go ahead and pull the cord now. And, you know, there's a pretty good chance that we'll be talking, you know, whatever it is, in a couple years about them firing a new GM, firing a new coach and looking for a new one. This is, I mean, what you want to do is, or at least it sounds like you want to do, is what fans usually knee-jerk reaction is. I go on radio stations all across the country, and you and a lot of the fans listening right now are actually a major reason why teams do make changes as often as they do, because they feel a need to appease the media or appease the fans who just want blood, who just want some type of change, something different to happen. And so, you know, like the Jets did this year. And I don't really think there's very many industries where people would do that, where people would think that that's, you know, businesses have a bad year and the Browns are having a bad year. But that doesn't mean that the people in charge of the business are people that you need to move on from just because they're having a down year, especially, you know, in this business.
I guess, Ross, the question I would have is then at what point, like how long do you give Stefanski? Because if we're both in agreement that next year's draft class probably isn't it, and they're probably not going to draft a quarterback, and maybe I make an assumption there that you don't agree with, but like next year is going to be a bridge quarterback. That's not, if we're giving him a mulligan for the Deshaun Watson time, it's not like next year is setting him up for a bunch of success to really, you know, blow our socks off either.
Well, how do you know that unless you give him a chance? I mean, was it set up for success last year when they had, what was it, 5 or 6 different starting quarterbacks? Of course not. Last year wasn't set up for success. I don't even know if I would say, you know, the year when they won the playoff game, I don't know if you could say before that year, not a single person before that year was saying they were set up for success, which is, by the way, why Kevin Stefanski was the coach of the year. You don't get coach of the year if before the year you're set up for success. You get coach of the year if everybody, including the people that make the odds on season win totals, everybody thinks you're going to be bad, and instead you're good. Like they were, whatever the year that was, and like they 21, and like they were last year. That is how you are. That's how you win coach of the year. So I understand the thought process that you don't think right now they're set for success, which, by the way, is that a good time to bring in another coach when you're not set up in any way for success? That's a good time to bring in a new coach? I don't really agree with that. I would like to see those guys battle through it, and I'd like to see what they do next year. It seemed pretty clear the last time I heard Andrew Berry speak that Deshaun Watson's not going to be the quarterback. So I'd like to see who they get at quarterback. So what they did this year is they brought in a new offensive coordinator. I tend to highly doubt that was Kevin Stefanski's decision, but these are the things we don't know, right? None of us ever really know owner involvement. which is one of the flaws in the entire conversation that we have. Somebody made the decision to move on from Van Pelt to bring in Ken Dorsey to run an offense that isn't Kevin Stefanski's offense, because supposedly Ken Dorsey, who just got fired in Buffalo and they were much better after him, supposedly Ken Dorsey is better, was going to run a better offense for Deshaun Watson. That didn't really happen. So instead, Watson's hurt, he's done. And so right when it would be perfect time to run Kevin Stefanski's offense with Jameis Winston, and the entire reason why Jameis Winston came to Cleveland to run Stefanski's offense, then you switch play caller to Ken Dorsey. I guess that what I would say is, at some point, it seems like the problem might be bigger than just whoever the head coach is, whoever the GM is. Like, I would love if we could actually find out who's making some of the decisions that are being made, because some of them don't make sense at all. Objectively don't make sense. And, you know, in the production meetings or whatever, we asked Stefanski and he always says it's his decision and blah, blah, blah. I don't know if I really believe that. I think he's doing what he has to do as a head coach. But some of the decisions, like when Watson was hurt, for them to switch play callers in Jameis Winston's first start was asinine. Now, in fairness, I called the game. They beat the Ravens. It was awesome for them. It was great. It worked. But that never made any sense to me whatsoever. Jameis had even said to us, he didn't really understand it, and he had a lot of questions Monday and Tuesday about, wait a minute, why are we switching to Dorsey right now? So maybe rather than always just saying fire the coach, fire the GM, maybe the conversation should be, what's the overall structure here? And maybe we can dig a little bit deeper and try to use logic. And I'm not saying you two guys, I'm just saying in general. Use logic and try to figure out who's actually running the show here and who's making some of these calls, because some of them sure as heck don't make sense.
I'm just glad the Bears never fired Matt Nagy, because he won Coach of the Year, and that means something, damn it.
Would have been a really good time for you to do the Mayo Game Day Be Delicious.
I was not going to do it to him.
It was like a big impassioned thing.
Ross, appreciate you, buddy. Have a lovely week.
Hey, how have the Bears been since they fired Nagy? I can't remember.
How have the Saints been since they fired Jim Haslett? Oh, wait, what about the Giants with Jim Fossil?
I just don't remember. Did Nagy make the playoffs two out of his 3 years?
Two out of three. We're 5 years now, Ross. And by the way, they're going to go 2-15 this year. Did Matt Nagy ever go 2-15? I honestly can't remember.
At this point, that'd probably be better, wouldn't it?
So now you're selling this as an accomplishment by Kevin Stefanski?
No, I'm saying, would you rather go 4-13 at this point or 2-15?
I would rather not go 2-15, because you have to be laughably bad. You have to try to suck to go 2-15.
Okay, well, I would bet some of your callers, and maybe even some of the callers that are smarter than you, would probably be happy if they went 2-15 at this point.
I don't think anyone's going to be happy at 2-15. Appreciate you, buddy.
See ya.
Kevin Stefanski, apologist. Ross Tucker there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
He was so mad at you, he didn't even hit you with a later, dude.
That was honestly the NFL Insider. Ross Tucker, Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. I'm not going to give it to him now. We'll react to what Ross had to say next on 92.3 The Fan. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. In the previous segment, what some are calling an Ivy League apologist. No, Ross gave his opinion on the Browns' brain trust and the idea of a mulligan. And there's, you know, I understand that there's a lot of good reason to push back on teams pulling the trigger on head coaches and GMs too quickly. For instance,
yeah,
Jimmy Haslam, every year, every 2 years, his first decade. Totally agreed. 5 years, though, I think should be enough time to have, like, definitive takes.
It's a really long time, Nick.
And it's wild to me that at 2-8, and I wonder if this will change. It's wild to me that because it's not just this season. It is the Deshaun trade. It's that three of the last four seasons will be not winning seasons. It's wild to me how it's either the Pittsburgh win year one or last year and how this year carries no, like, this year really doesn't matter compared to last year.
Mulligan was the proper term, because in a mulligan, you legitimately do wipe it away. I mean, that's it. And I don't know how we got here, because 2-15, or whatever it ends up being, is no one survives that typically.
Well, and here's the thing. The two arguments that Ross was using, the two are, one, well, look at how much success they've had in Cleveland. Which is very much you should be thankful for what you've had.
Well, also tells us never raise your standards ever, too, by the way, which I absolutely hate.
And the second thing is, well, teams do this too often. Okay, what does that have to specifically do with this?
Wasn't there a reason why teams do it a lot, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, well,
they do it a lot because it doesn't take you 12 years to figure out if a person is good or bad at a job.
And here's the other thing, like, I think Kevin is a good head coach for whatever it is.
Yeah, no, I do, too.
But I worry that good in this division, if we did this with quarterbacks, if we said Baker is a good quarterback for whatever it's worth.
Great point you're going down here.
But Joe Burrow's in this division. Lamar's in this division. We don't have to talk about the Steelers. But it's Joe Burrow and Lamar. If we did that with the quarterback, why wouldn't it be an obvious thing to then say, well, you've got Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh in this division. Is Kevin Stefanski in that league? Because if the answer is no, then inevitably at some point this year, next year, it'll be an obvious conversation to have when you fire him.
Yeah, you're not just competing and coaching against every Tom, Dick, and Harry. You're coaching against two of the best in the NFL.
Yes.
Tomlin and Harbaugh have been around longer than anybody. I mean, how do you just... Right, that's why it's a bananas move with Zach Taylor that they just, and that's why they're, if they miss the playoffs, probably considering how do we get an upgrade? How do we take this to that next level? You have to always be thinking about these things.
Well, and so, Madgeman 48.
Oh, you're going to say, he said something you didn't like because that was very condescending.
Yeah, it was very condescending. Sorry about that, Madgeman.
Yeah, I mean, you did not like that.
Got to agree with Ross Tucker. Nick and JP were a perfect snapshot of the toxicity of this fan base. We're having the conversation about firing Kevin Stefanski. We have yet to say he should be fired.
Yeah.
But this
idea... We
both
just said he's good, he's a good head coach. He's going to evaluate
the conversation. Guys, great head coaches don't go 2-15.
Yeah.
Look in Mike Tomlin's arsenal. The worst you're going to find is a 500 season. Look at Jim John Harbaugh. The worst you're going to find is 6-10.
I think the maddening part, though, Nick, is the idea that they're about to have a 2-win season and we're the crazy people for wanting to evaluate what's going on
and
here.
And evaluate. Like, that's the word.
That's it. And we're the nut jobs. We're the ones that's like, whoa, how dare you question Kevin Stefanski? It's like, no, you get to question these things.
So
you guys just going to do Homer Radio every single day here?
I think, quite frankly, some of it is... I think people are, and I think what Ross is driving at, people are afraid at downgrading from Kevin. And I'll be honest with you, I probably would be more in that camp. The problem is they've got a guy who I think is the better head coach.
Yeah.
I don't think...
It sounded like Ross thought he was the better head coach too.
I don't think that Mike Vrabel's teams are going to collapse and give up the way this team gave up against New Orleans. I don't think Mike Vrabel's teams are going to have... I don't know, 5-6 chances to win a game against both the Giants, the Raiders, the Eagles, and the Bengals, and then not successfully deliver on that. Like, I don't think coming off a big Ravens win, Mike Vrabel teams would turn around and get absolutely smacked around by the Chargers. So, like, I think that's the way, like, to me, and in fairness, I should have said this. When he said, what don't you like about Kevin? And I said, I don't think he's a great leader. I should have said... There are questionable efforts consistently with this team. And by the way, they were also questionable efforts in 2022 and 2021.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, again, I'm not ready to say fire Kevin. I want this thing to play out. I want to give him 7 games to win a couple games. Okay? I want to see what that looks like and if you can get these guys back in.
And have him fight for his job and then have, you know... Have the players fight for it, too.
But this idea when you have a guy that's everything your coach isn't, who's had more success than them, and he's in the building,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that creates a sense of urgency that if Mike wasn't here or if Mike hadn't been let go by Tennessee this year, I probably wouldn't feel the same sense of urgency to really start to search out my feelings on Kevin Stefanski.
100% fair. Across the board, 100%.
216-474-0092. Great stuff from Ross Tucker. We'll have more, not just later today, but as the show goes on. But 50%, almost 50% of men think this thing that they can do. I am one of the almost 50%. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. We'll get his thoughts on Brown Steelers. Have some things to say about that game as well. But you brought this to my attention. You found it on Instagram, courtesy of the Explaining the Universe Instagram account. And the post said almost 50% of men think they can land a passenger plane in an emergency. It also says experts disagree. And I disagree with those experts. I am one of this almost 50% of men.
Yeah, because I sent it to you and I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, I've fallen victim to me thinking I could do things that I can't do. 42-yard field goal, probably being the most famous of that. Yeah. And I instantly thought, I'm like, there's no way I could do this. If a commercial plane is going down, we've all had these thoughts, right? You get on, I think every plane ride you go and you take, you're like, well, what happens? If they need me, can I get in the cockpit and can I make my way over there and can I land this thing?
I mean, here's the thing. You got the headset there, so you're in communication.
Yeah, because you're going to have the air traffic controller. Yeah. They'd be helping you out in the scenario. Yeah.
And there's going to be some really like former vet or former pilot, and if there's some button I need to click, just show me where the landing gear is, how I put that down. I mean, it's like driving a car.
Show me where the landing gear
pull
is.
Pull up, pull down. Side to the side, like
no way it's that easy.
Yeah, I think it is that easy. These things are so computerized.
I need
now.
A pilot, by the way. I need a pilot, and I need somebody with flying experience to call in and then tell us if it really is that easy. If we found ourselves in the situation, could Nick, you're pretty good with like YouTube instructional videos.
Uh huh.
Could
thank
Nick
you.
Follow the directions and then be able to land the plane safely?
I think
a
you
commercial
could. I think
airliner.
You could put a chimpanzee.
Oh, no.
And be like Bobo. I'm going to need you to hit the auxiliary systems there. And I think I'm just saying things from Apollo 13.
I thought you were going for the Mulaney monkey.
Yeah. Listen, if you want the banana, Bobo, you're going to have to go ahead and land this plane safely.
This is a banana's take by
but
you,
no,
pun
I
intended.
Don't think it is. Because here's the thing. These things is not like flying, excuse me, a small Cessna where you have, I mean, you'd be in control of everything.
No, we're talking commercial airliner where it takes like seven straight human errors in order to cause a plane.
Many,
by people that know what they're doing,
and
though.
Here's the thing. It's pay attention to these two instruments, right? I don't know what they are, but these two instruments, know where your landing gear is and, you know, don't plop it too hard on the ground when you go to put her on the ground. Like, I think I just described, because again,
I need
not,
a pilot bad.
I'm not 216-474-0092.
I need a pilot bad
I
to call
I think they're
going
to agree. 216-474-0092.
They might be busy flying, you know.
It couldn't.
Because apparently it takes no amount of, I don't know, preparation, experience, anything in order to actually land it.
I've prepped. I've played a couple simulator games on an airplane. Oh, not on an airplane.
Is that
but
where this is headed?
Airplane simulators?
It's me getting you a flight simulator and seeing if you could do it. If you actually land it, I'll be...
What?
I'll be shocked.
I'm almost insulted.
I have so much belief in you, but the idea that 50% of guys think they could do this is it's wild.
Well, it's not, okay. To some degree, it's not different than driving a car. In terms of steering the thing.
You had Kayla the entire time, and then you said car, and now waffled on you there.
Like, don't pull up or don't push the nose all the way down. Like, there is some bit of don't be an idiot in this.
Yeah, I think the car is honestly what's taking me away from confidence and saying I could do it.
Oh, you're just a bad driver?
I'm a good driver. I'm a bad within 5 miles per hour. Like, if it's 5 to 10 miles per hour, in slow driving situations, I'm an awful parker. And I also, all my accidents, I've only been in accidents since 16, they've all been when the car is less than 10 miles per hour.
The directional thing would be the biggest thing. Like, if they try and tell, like, there better be a compass there for me to say, like, hey, this is, you know, this is north. When they say point due north, it's going to take me a minute to get there. I'm not going to say I'm not going to waste a little gas along the way.
You sound not even intimidated by the idea.
I'm not.
Whole commercial airline.
No, because
two
here's
pilots
the thing.
Are having health issues. They need you to step in. You're the guy?
In those moments, my blood pressure drops by 10%. It doesn't go up 10%. That's after like a pizza, like a full pizza. But if you just say like, hey, lives are on the line, adrenaline's going to start kicking in.
What they also say about serial killers too, by the way? Like in the moment, they just feel nothing. Yeah. The blood pressure drops.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not the same thing. Serial killers. Because that's about killing people. Saving people.
Patrick Mahomes in a title game.
Because I'm going to visualize Susie, who's a three-year-old, and she talked my ear off the whole flight. I got to save it for little Susie. And that's, by the way, that's exactly what I say when I got off the plane, because I'm having like my who is the New York pilot? I almost said Captain Phillips. That's a different Tom Hanks.
Sully.
Yeah, I'm going to have my Sully moment. I'll be honest, I wouldn't think about anything other than getting little Susie home safe and sound and secure. But yeah, I could do this. I'm not even that concerned about it.
The Sully movie, the Rappaport line was bonkers thinking back on it.
It's like, any of them were.
Oh, we have a shot named after Sully. Oh, what is it? It's Grey Goose with a splash of water. Oh, my gosh.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
Vince on Twitter saying, you land a plane? Surely you can't be serious. I'm offended. Why would you? You guys are like.
I like how offended you
are. And I just,
I want to have so much confidence in you. And the more you talk, the less confidence you
guys,
I have.
Because here's the thing. I don't think you guys realize how much these airplanes are, to some degree, autonomous, and that even pilots anymore. I think pilots would agree. 20 years ago, it was harder to pilot a damn commercial craft. It's a little bit easier now. For them, it's like
no experience doing it, though.
That doesn't matter. I will have somebody who's experienced telling me what I need to hear. If you said I have no comms, I have... Okay, now it's 50-50.
I mean, but it's more than just like... So, like, driving a car when I was 16 and I first started taking, like, the driving lessons and such, very first time I knew exactly what to do. It wasn't like it was a mystery. But there's a lot of buttons you don't know.
Yeah, well,
you're being guided, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not going to push a button that I don't know. That's the other thing. I'm not a moron. I'm not just going to get in and be like, beep, bop, boop, bop. Oh, what does this one do? No, I'm only touching buttons if they tell me to touch buttons. Let's go with Bob in Cleveland. Whoa. Bob, you a pilot?
How's it going, guys? And bonjour, JP.
Oh, bonjour. It's that guy in Cleveland. He used a real name. Okay, what's up, man?
Bob, do you think I could land an airplane, if necessary, with help from air traffic control on my lonesome?
I think if you have the right, you know, kind of knowledge, well, I mean, you won't even really need a whole lot of knowledge, but like, you just need someone to sort of like tell you what to do, you know, hit the buttons. They'll be like, hey, look to your right. And if you see a red button, press that red button, you know, stuff like that.
Yep.
But also it really helps if you do like a simulator at home, you know, like, I don't know, on your computer or whatever, you know, that also helps.
Well, that's the thing though. You wouldn't have that at your disposal. This is, you're going on the flight. You don't know that this is going to go down, and then it goes down the way that it does.
That's why you do the simulator before you go on your flight.
Doing a simulator.
Here's the thing, Bob. I don't think I need it. All right. This is me. I'm going to be the guy who scores 50 in an NBA game.
Yeah.
And says it was all my teammates. Like,
you're going to land that plane and be like,
through the glory of God, my teammates and my coaches.
Yeah, sure.
I got through this. Now, I'd still bilk it for, I'd be like the Hawk Tua girl. I'd have podcasts. I'd have I'd bilk the living crap out of it. But yeah, I mean, I'd make sure I got every cent out of this that I possibly could. I'd have a movie instead of Sully, it'd be Fatty. an unbelievable airplane story. But because again, it's not about Nick Wilson.
Do you think I could do it then?
It's not about Nick Wilson.
He won't answer that one.
It's not about Nick Wilson. It's about the people you surround Nick Wilson with. For instance, if this show doesn't work out, clearly it's you. Clearly it's the new producer. Clearly it's Kayla. If it does work out, well, clearly it's you guys too. No, nobody liked that?
Jay was like, all right.
Ooh. All right. Jason and Medina.
It was a bad combo. It was a bad combo for you.
Are you confident that if given proper instruction, I had to take over a commercial airliner in an emergency situation, I could land that plane safely?
1,000%. No question about it. And I'll tell you why. I know everything that there is to know about aviation because I completed 8 weeks of a 12-week ground school, okay? And this was about eight or 9 years ago, okay? But let me this past weekend, I was in Medina Square, and I saw a little sandwich board that said, come on upstairs and try the flight simulator, and I did. I booked a quick class with them, and it was a father-son team. I landed the plane twice with just their instructions, and it was as real as can be.
Did you try twice? Was there multiple attempts beyond two? Okay, two for two. Okay.
Two times, two for two, and he said, that was really good. Why don't you want to try it again? I said, sure. And he put me up again, and I dropped it in like a baby in a basket.
I'm going to tell you, if Jason can do it, and again, he didn't even complete flight school, because he didn't have somebody in his ear. And say, hey, if you check...
You didn't complete flight school either in this scenario.
No, my point is, I have the advantage over Jason, because Jason doesn't have Sully in his ear. Or Aaron Eckert, whoever Aaron Eckert is in those bags, because I'd like to have that guy in my ear as well. And I like I've got the ace in the hole, right? Then again, the credit goes to the pilot talking me through it, and the stewardesses for helping me get through a very tough moment. But no, it's all about everybody else. Real quick here, I want to go with Andrew. Andrew, could I land a commercial aircraft if, never having flown before, they needed me in a pinch to safely deliver people on the ground?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Loud and clear.
I think if the conditions are no wind, sunny day, dry runway, big runway, extra long runway, then sure.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think there's more you have to worry about here.
All right. I agree. I'm not going to get this.
You see how we got this survey, right? You see how we got this?
Yeah.
There's a lot of confident people out there in the world that think that they can do this.
And a lot of confidence.
not as easy as just walking.
Andrew, we appreciate you. A lot of confidence in me. That's what you're missing. Like in the survey, it's almost 50% of men think they could land. I've got 100% of callers saying Nick could do this. They don't even know. I could be a royal dumbass. And they might think I'm a royal dumbass. And they're like, yeah, this chimp, he can do it. 216-474-0092. Almost 50% of men think they can land a passenger plane in an emergency. JP thinks he can't. I know that I can. Kayla knows that she can. Jax definitely can. He unless he had chocolate milk.
Oh, poor guy.
Unless they just mainline chocolate milk into his system.
Away, little buckaroo. You'll get there one day.
He's eating his Oreos.
No,
he's
got his Lunchable.
It's the next thing we got going on.
Somebody tussle Jax's hair. Make him feel special. Who's a good boy? The 5 and 5 next on 92.3 The Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.